So someone's listening, we'll just keep numbers easy. You're making $200,000 a year, and you times it by 30, that's $6 million a year, right, Tammy? $6 million total. That's your economic life value.
Yes.
People hear that. It's like, holy cow, I'm worth $6 million at a $200,000 a year income. It's like, yeah, you're worth six. That's your economic life value.
Right.
Now, of course, don't go take that and tell that to your neighbor or your typical financial advisor out there,
right,
that all they're focused on is the stock market, because they're going to think, oh my gosh, dude, they're going to think you're insane. It's like, oh my gosh, dude, your wife's going to kill you tomorrow. You're worth more dead than alive. Have you heard that term?
I have.
You're worth more dead than alive.
Right.
The reality is, in many ways, similar to like auto insurance, home insurance, it's an indemnity product. And the fact that all it does as income protection insurance is make your spouse, your family whole. So if you're in your 30s, you plan to work another 30 years, making $200,000 a year, that is $6 million that you would have generated in earned income for your family.
You're listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.
Hi, this is Ken Green, the host of the Engineer of Finance. And I have with me my awesome co-host, Tammy B.
Hey, Ken. How you doing?
Good. Excellent. Awesome. Unbelievable.
Sweet.
For years, you keep asking that question. I give you crap about it and keep doing it. So I'm doing great. I mean, considering, I will say in this show right now, taking a stand, I'm not talking about COVID-19 anymore. I'm sick of it.
Okay.
It's overwhelming. Gotcha. My wife's going nuts too. Usual. You stop reading about that damn virus.
Oh.
Over and over and over again. It's like, just put it down. And I have. I've been obsessive about it because I keep trying to, I have to solve things.
Sure.
I need to troubleshoot. I want to improve things.
Sure.
It's just what drives me.
Yeah, I totally get that.
And so I keep craving solutions. And I have found empirical data is way better than this mauling BS, almost cussed, that's being shoved down our throats. I love like these two massive institutions. And I won't dive down that road, but boy, were they wrong. On their forecasting. I mean, they just doom and gloom, 2-3 million people dead in the US, you know.
Right.
Raining cats and dogs. Trying to remember Bill Murray in Ghostbusters.
Oh yeah.
You know, Armageddon.
Yeah.
Cat sleeping with dogs. I can't remember how he said
that's
it.
That's right. Just, I forgot that.
I can't remember how it said. I got to like memorize some of these things. I like how a couple of my brothers, at least one, he'll just recite, and a friend of mine who's also a client, he'll like recite all this stuff from movies. And I like to think I have a strong memory, but when it comes to that stuff, I can't do it as well as the actor. So I was like, why bother to memorize the line, I guess?
Yeah, I get that.
You know, it's like Monty Python. All these friends, you know, saying Monty Python perfectly.
Right.
And they do it well. It's funny. I try to do it. It's not so funny. No. So I don't bother.
Right.
But anyway, I'm just, empirical data way better than this modeling that's just pure crap. It's been so wrong.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I got to stop. I'm not talking about COVID-19 anymore after the show.
Okay.
I'm done with it.
All right. It's a deal.
And I'm sure you're okay with that.
Yep. Moving on.
Yeah. Although I am curious, Miss Healthy.
Uh-oh.
All right.
Yeah.
You're a health guru. What are you doing to stay safe and protect yourself from the coronavirus?
Well, I have to say I'm on the other side of I'm fine. I'll be fine. Don't put a mask on me. I'm fine. Get me back into the gym. Let me hike.
Are you like taking vitamins or
no,
things like that
no,
to make sure your immune no, system's real strong?
I'm just doing the same thing I've always done.
Well, I mean, the consistent theme across everyone, right? The thing, well, I said I'm not going to talk about it here. I'm going to talk about it. It's just when you have equally qualified experts on both sides of the aisle, one thing shut down the world forever. And right, the other saying, hey, we got to get back to it or we're going to have
right,
way bigger consequences and deaths and loss. Like, hey, you might save a lot of people from COVID, but you're going to lose a lot more people are going to die from heart strokes, anxiety,
yeah,
stroke, all that stuff. So you got equally qualified experts with big opinion, difference of opinion. And,
right,
and it's like, how much longer can our country sustain not turning?
Right.
I'll take a big leap here. I'm going to put myself out there. Not much longer.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
So with that said, I'm a baby. I don't, it scares the crap out of me. I don't like viruses. When people get flus or colds, it used to drive my daughter nuts. If I thought she had a sniffle, I'm like, get away. She's like, gosh, will you quit it? You know, my wife get all mad at me. So it's not like I don't take any of this stuff seriously. But when you start trying to break things down to a certain point of time, you always need to define exit strategies, right? I've talked about this in the past. You get into any investment, you're going to make any type of decision. What is your exit strategy? So I'm amazed, the leaders, and I'm not just all of them, right? It to me appears that an exit strategy was not defined from the get-go.
Yeah.
They should have created a freaking exit strategy saying, hey, what if all these things occur? You know, I mean, my gosh, you got the brightest minds there, right? Maybe not some of the brightest minds, but it's like, you know, and I'm not going to try to pick on a governor, but I will anyway, because I'm annoyed with him. And I don't envy his position, man. I mean, it takes some, you got to be really brave, maybe really narcissistic too, to get into politics. But I mean, I just don't know how they can handle it. I mean, you're never going to please everyone. And it looks like even if you're doing a good job, you know, at least 40% of the nation hates your guts. I mean, what?
Yeah, that's right.
It's pretty amazing to be not concerned about that and numb to it, maybe. And we're like water rolling off your back. I don't know how they do it.
It is pretty amazing.
But I was like, last week I'm told, hey, restaurants get to open again, like 50% capacity. I'm like, oh, that's awesome.
Absolutely.
I am so glad the restaurants get to start, you know, getting an income stream again.
Right.
And so I'm like, oh, it's great. I'm going to go to my bar right next to my office, 1864, go get a drink with my wife. I mean, he makes just these drinks, and I'm not much of a drinker, but it's nice getting a nice, delicious Moscow Mule on a Friday afternoon. So anyway, I was telling my wife, we'll go get a drink. And she said, no. The restaurants can open. The bars are still shut down.
It makes no sense.
It makes no sense. I'm like, what the hell?
What's
I didn't
the
know
difference?
The coronavirus was more attracted to bars and restaurants. I didn't see that in all the stuff that's been out there.
I didn't either.
It's like, that makes no freaking sense.
No, I
agree. And where do you think the biggest margins are for these restaurants and bars when it comes to food and alcohol?
Alcohol, for sure.
What is the best way for them to start
surviving? Yeah.
Like, so you're telling me that restaurants have to social distance, which makes sense, have extra protocols in place. That's great. We know that certain groups are way more at risk than others. So we can start we're learning more and more about this virus, but just restaurants can open, but bars can't. That's like the most asinine thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. And I really don't want to pour salt in your wound, but I did speak to a client of mine in Texas and bars are open.
I mean, it's like, hey, this makes a lot of sense, right? You know, a virus needs a host. It's kind of how I make fun of taxes. It's like this parasite host relationship. You know, if you tax people too much, you kill the host.
Right.
And like these parasites, these viruses, et cetera,
right,
they need a host. So you know, it makes sense. I mean, I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm not a virologist, but they throw all this stuff out. I hear arguments on both sides. And it's like, okay, it makes sense. Obviously, if you're far enough away from someone else, you know, it's not going to fly in the air and enter me. I'm safe. So it makes, does that make sense?
Sure does.
Although you'd be amazed at how many people I see out here walking. There's no one around them.
Yeah.
And they're wearing their masks as they walk.
That doesn't make sense.
It's like, it's not dangling in the air waiting for you guys. So it's upside down world. So I'm not talking about this stupid topic ever again. I'm done. I just hope everyone's healthy. I hope we all recover from this thing. And because there's some, even though this has really sucked, there's some really exciting, you can tell I'm a little wound up. Why do you do this? How am I thing? So stop it. So
you should fire me.
So anyway, I'm not talking about it anymore. I want the world to really start turning again and humming. I don't want anyone dying of anything.
Of course.
And so hopefully we'll get some more thoughtful decisions. But also I think, you know, hindsight's really difficult, right? It's easy for us to go back in time and just nitpick every decision that's been made. But I would love to know who's surrounded by some of these governors and hear who's in their ear. Because when I look at that is not a logical thing. And then my brain starts trying to conclude, maybe there's some different alternatives. And if I'm thinking that way, there's probably a lot of other people thinking that way. And so, hey, what's the end game? So what's the exit strategy, guys? So, I mean, anyway, I'll leave alone. I'm done. No more COVID-19. All right. So, the remainder of this topic, and it's a I don't think I've ever had an episode where I really have dove into this. Maybe I have. And so do you ever remember me talking about human life value and economic life value with you?
It does sound familiar, but I can't, that's all I can say. I don't remember what you said.
And I got to start getting a whole bunch of transcripts. I'm so grateful to have over 100 episodes that.
Oh, it's awesome.
It's so cool. And I just so look forward to around this mic. Always love having you come on. I love having great guests come on. I think it's also relevant to, I said, I'm not going to talk about COVID anymore. So I'm going to try to have a really sharp divorce attorney come on real soon.
Nice.
And because boy, is she going to be busy.
Oh, you think?
Oh, I guarantee it. Guarantee it. So she'll be busy. So not for me personally.
No. I know.
Yeah. But she'll be busy. And I think it's important for someone to get that kind of guidance too.
Sure.
On how to handle things.
Sure.
But I had some great clients I've been working with over the last 6 months. Mm-hmm. Nice family in their 30s, very sharp, strong income. And we just put together some good bankosauri.
Nice.
Bankosauri, bankosauruses for the family. Right. To protect them, protect their children. I always bring this up, and I don't think I bring it up enough on the show, because I'm so focused on teaching people how to create cash value, how to create liquidity, you know, savings. And I don't know of a better part of that strategy than using the bankosaurus.
Sure.
I mean, it's you do it right, you design it right, and you play the game correctly. And it's how you get this stuff through with the different carriers. It's a whole, you know, it's a science in many ways. Mm-hmm. Does that mm-hmm. make sense?
Absolutely.
Like, I mean, different companies like have their own like sweet spots, right? I remember having this conversation years ago. I was like, well, I don't understand why this auto insurance company is so much more than the other. It's because the one that's so much more doesn't like you and they can't say no. So they make the rate so outrageous that you want to go to someone else. You don't fit their sweet spot.
Right.
So life insurance companies work a little bit differently because they can say no.
Right.
But they have different sweet spots. Now, so anyway, I didn't mean to go on that tangent, but the whole point was, is that great family, love working with them. They've done everything they're supposed to do as far as what we've been doing for their financial strategies. Put together just really good death benefit protection in addition to having a lot of focus on creating liquidity. And I never, years ago, I would never talk about human life value and human economic life value or economic life value. I always focused on the cash side, the liquidity side, because I'm an optimist and I just don't like thinking about anything possibly happening bad to people. I don't like death. Sure. I've said this numerous times, I'm sure, on this podcast. And the irony of it, right? Getting into this industry, never want to ask people about their age, never want to know anything about their money or finances, plenty or lack of, and don't like dealing with death. And yet, guess what I do every day, Tammy? All those three things. Yeah. Isn't that ironic? So it's like, get my engineering degrees is because, oh, that's great. I'll never have to write a thing again and do paperwork. That's why I was so excited to do engineering. I just do math and design, troubleshoot. Well, guess what? Right. There's a crap load of paperwork that goes with engineering, right? And then I write articles and all that stuff, right? So I write way more now and do a lot more paperwork than I ever imagined, especially in the financial industry. But I never really would focus because I just, the whole death thing is just not a fun topic. And same thing I've mentioned where I outed myself a year ago, never talked about a year and a half ago. Didn't like talking about income protection insurance, disability insurance. It's like a real fun conversation. Oh, by the way, you got this percentage of, you know, never being able to work again and being disabled. And it's just not a fun conversation. However, it's an important conversation. And it's good that everyone gets that knowledge because if something does go sideways, boy, did I elevate that family. I empower them to make the right decisions for their family. And so I want to emphasize, talk a little bit about economic life value and human life value. So Tammy, human life value, what does that mean to you?
The way that I think of it is the value that you can create, ensuring the value that you can create, you know, whether job or business or however, but trying to put a dollar figure on that.
Human life value is there's only one Tammy B.
That's so true.
You cannot be replaced. There's not enough money in the world to replace you.
That's true.
All listeners on the show is not enough money to replace one of you. right? All of you, right? Yeah, one of you, one listener. It's nice, like same thing for me. There's just one me.
Right.
And so that's human life. At least that's how I define it. And that's how I teach it.
Yeah, it's, I get that.
Now, human economic life value, or just easier economic life value, that does have a number. And so everyone listening, if you want to get an idea of what you're worth from a financial standpoint, because trust me, ambulance chasers understand it really well.
I bet.
So for example, if economic life value, if you're in your 30s, and I didn't tie back to this young family, this family in the 30s I'm working with, but it's really important that what they put together, and they're so grateful that they put together, but they just had a really close friend and their family pass away. And I'll tie back to that, why this is so important. And the timing on it, I mean, it just really resonated for this family. Because no one, especially in your 30s, 40s, 20s, most of us aren't worried that we're not going to make it till tomorrow. It's usually not our focus. It's like, hey, how are we going to pay this bill, do that, save, invest? It's not, oh, what if I die tomorrow? But this goes back to exit strategies, right? What if the unthinkable occurs? What's the exit strategy? What are we going to do? Economic life value, good idea. If you're in your 30s and 40s and say you make $150,000, I'll give a couple examples. It doesn't matter. You make $150,000 a year, you make $200,000 a year, make $500,000 a year. Times that earned income by 30, and that gives you a good idea of what your economic life value is.
So I had it mixed up. I was thinking, right? Sounds like I had it mixed up. Like what I was thinking.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Because I didn't ask you economic life value. I should have asked you both, right? What's economic life value and what's human life value?
I'm not saying I would have gotten it right. No.
No, I think you would have. Well, you had, hey, you're on the right theme. That's my definition for it. I don't know if there's a specific thing in Wikipedia or whatever.
That's a good distinction.
But economic life, there's only one us, and then economic life value is, you can put a number to it. So if you want to get a good idea just to make your family whole, this is really big because I'm telling, so someone's listening, we'll just keep numbers easy. You're making $200,000 a year and you times it by 30, that's $6 million a year, right, Tammy?
Sure.
$6 million total. That's your economic life value.
Yes.
People hear that. It's like, holy cow, I'm worth $6 million at a $200,000 a year income. It's like, yeah, you're worth six. That's your economic life value.
Right.
Now, of course, don't go take that and tell that to your neighbor or your typical financial advisor out there that all they're focused on is the stock market, because they're going to think, oh my gosh, dude, they're going to think you're insane. It's like, oh my gosh, dude, your wife's going to kill you tomorrow. You're worth more dead than alive. Have you heard that term?
I have.
You're worth more dead than alive.
Right.
The reality is, in many ways, similar to like auto insurance, home insurance, it's an indemnity product. And the fact that all it does is income protection insurance is make your spouse, your family whole. So if you're in your 30s, you plan to work another 30 years, making $200,000 a year, that is $6 million that you would have generated in earned income for your family that they would have had the benefit of using and enjoying.
Right, right.
If you die tomorrow, that $6 million, it just makes them whole.
Right.
Interesting enough.
It doesn't replace you.
It just makes them economically whole. They're already devastated, right? That's a spiritual thing for sure. I mean, dad's gone, mom's gone. But just from an economic standpoint, make it way worse. Mom and dad's gone. There's nothing for income anymore for the spouse.
Right. Absolutely.
That's the importance of economic life value. I don't know if I really have hit on this hard in the past, but it's something that I've known one-on-one with clients over the last couple of years that I made it very, very important for people to understand. That's on the financial side. I mean, we're so focused on too often about the fun, positive stuff, and I'm not anymore. I mean, but in the past, I have been, originally getting this industry over, 11 years ago now.
It's amazing.
Just more and more and more money, but at the same time, but I did help a lot on auto and home insurance. So I thought, shame on me, right? You teach people how to grow it. You better show them how to protect it too.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, my gosh, look at a thriving industry for the last 3 years. This economy through the roof and just took 2 months to wipe it all out.
Yeah. Goodness.
With this pandemic.
Right.
Things can go sideways. And so But I just want to really emphasize, especially what's going on with this pandemic and coronavirus. I mean, it's scaring a lot of people, and the life insurance companies have adjusted. The majority of carriers out there, if you're 70 and over, they're not going to write a policy. Because they see these numbers. They're seeing the empirical data.
Right.
And there's uncertainty for them too. I mean, they're going to do everything they can to protect their policyholders, you know, the mutual companies, their shareholders, their long-term thinkers. But yeah, so there's already been things that have affected things. But I guess my point is I want to really emphasize to people that what you're worth from an economic standpoint. Look at the unthinkable, and if it's husbands, wives, and I've also if it's not a dual income family, I've told a spouse that works at home raising the children. You realize that in many scenarios, your economic life value, it's not zero because you don't have an earned income.
Absolutely.
What would it cost to replace you? Well, that's quite often you can just write it equal to the spouse. So if your husband's making, $500,000 a year, I mean, that's $15 million in economic life value.
Right.
So all the spouse doesn't bring an earned income. In many situations, you can get that.
Absolutely.
And, but just look at what it would replace to get a nanny, right? I mean, that it does all the stuff is done. Someone who's raising the children, putting things together, all that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, $100,000 a year, $80,000, depending upon where you live.
Right.
In the U.S.
Right.
So that right there, I mean, my gosh, $3 million. Mm-hmm. But that's economic life value. And so I'll go to this great couple. I mean, it's just, and I love lifelong relationships. I mean, I love the relationships when it starts off as me being an advisor, but you'd be amazed at all the calls I get. And it's fun.
I bet.
You know, it's like I get a call this morning. So, hey, should I improve my kitchen? You know, it's fun getting that type of question. Does that make sense? Am I being crazy? You know, am I being unwise with my money?
And it's just, it's kind of awesome.
Yeah, it's fun, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then another call is like, hey, who's a good plumber? Who's a good roofer? I get calls for all of it. And it's just, I like those kind of relationships. I really want to help, in all situations, help people out and elevate their current what's going on. So economic life. So this young couple, just recently talking to the husband, and he lost a really good friend recently. Just happened, and they just got their stuff put in place. And motorcycle accident. I won't go into the details, but he just passed away, and it was just so emotionally devastating. You know, because that's a good friend of his.
Sure.
And he says, I'm just so grateful for what you've done for our family, just from the financial standpoint, teaching about economic life value, all of it, and knowing that my family has things in place that, heaven forbid, something happens. My kids, my wife are protected from that loss of income.
That's right. Yeah.
His good friend, several children, wife, no life insurance, no will and trust.
Oh, goodness.
In his 30s.
Wow.
And it wasn't COVID, right? I mean, it was what the majority of us, it's accidents, right? That's a huge killer.
Yeah, that's right.
Heart attacks, cancer, you know, those are the big ones, accidents.
Right.
And so just a simple accident. And so I just feel, this happens, I don't want to get sappy on the podcast, but the value that, you know, they made, my job was edge game. They made the choices that was right for their family. And, but also he reached out the other day and says, hey, three or four of my good friends or good friends with everyone, they'll be calling you very shortly.
Nice.
Because they need to correct things too, because they don't have things in place.
Right, right. Absolutely.
And so, of course, imagine if we had a time machine and we go back 2 weeks.
Right.
Guarantee my client friend would be on the phone reaching out to his friend saying, dude, you need to do this. You need to cover your economic life value.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I just have, don't know this individual, his friend, but I have the empathy. I could, it's like, it's a huge loss. And, but I'm grateful that his family structure and set up, and definitely he's spreading the word with his other friends that, of what they need to do. And so anyway, that was the topic for today is, I don't know. I've been thinking about the last few days because, boy, do I love riding motorcycles. And I've had some really good accidents. I was like, crap, man. And I remember a race that I was in years ago with my friend. I'm horrible at racing. Some of my friends are pretty incredible. But right before the race, it was one of these runs at midnight. It's in Moon Rocks in Nevada. And this guy just literally is like a football field away. I saw him. Well, I didn't see him crash, but I saw someone on the ground. And there's people around him. Apparently, it's just a simple crash. And but it hit his neck just in the right way. It's probably about 8-9 years ago. And it immediately paralyzed him and he passed away.
Oh,
and it's just amazing how, it's amazing what our bodies can handle and in crashes. And sometimes amazing how some, a simple fall changed your whole life around and your whole family's life around. And so that's my, sounds real sad and depressing, but I hope this is like a huge message for everyone listening that if you don't, if you're not protecting your economic life value, and probability wise, there's a good chance nothing's going to happen to you for a long, long time. But if you can design things in a way that not only can you create by far more wealth for yourself to enjoy and use today, and simultaneously create something that you can't necessarily say bulletproof, but near bulletproofs, all these weird things that you can have an exit strategy you didn't plan on, so that you know that your spouse, your kids, are financially protected and you put things in place on a will and trust that, you know, that stuff's passed on is probably the most, I mean, it's a, the ability to be selfish and selfless simultaneously when you create a bank of sorai for your family.
Absolutely.
And so, and I'm pathetic, like my eyes are all teared up because it's just, it's a sad topic. But here's an opportunity for people to really, of all the things we can't control, especially our ding-dong politicians, this is something that you can take an educated, you can take the next step on, get educated, and put things in place. So now that you've protected for economic life value, you've protected your family and done right, you've also created a huge piggy bank on steroids, your Bankosaurus. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any questions on this topic? There's a lot more to these pieces, but that's human life value. That's economic life value. And I know it's kind of a sad topic, but at the same time, very empowering. And what a great way to be educated, make a choice that's right for your family. Go to my website, engineerofinance.com. Schedule a time to talk to me if you want to chat for a few minutes, if you have any questions. Also, at the very that's on the upper right-hand side, I believe, on the website. And at the bottom, if you want to subscribe to my newsletter, you can subscribe down there. Snippets from the Engineer of Finance. And I know I went a few minutes over time. So Tammy, anything else you'd like to add to today's episode before we wrap up?
Yeah, something that was coming to me as Ken was sharing the story, the sad story about his client whose friend passed without life insurance. Any tool to provide his family the same income that they would have had had he been living. It's just striking me that Ken is really considered by his clients to be a trusted counselor. And obviously calling him for roofers and plumbers and all sorts of things outside of his industry. So it's just really gratifying, I think, for someone who's considering doing something and that, but they want to talk to somebody who's trusted, but it's so hard because there's so many people out there and you're not so sure. I mean, everyone's a stranger to you. So how do you know? So that's one of the reasons why Ken does this podcast for free, so that people can get a sense about who he is, that he really is a trusted guy. He's someone that you can count on and that safe place that you can go and get something like this started. So the Bankosaurus, as he mentioned, that he set up for this client, as he said, it has the two uses at least where you can, you don't have to wait until someone passes. And yet it does put that protection into place if someone were to pass, but you can also use it now. And Ken is, he's so knowledgeable about it. He has multiple Bankosauruses himself, however you say that. So he's a great trusted counselor to talk to about and ask your questions.
Thank you, Tammy B. I don't know what next week's episode will be. Maybe it'll be too much on this like somewhat depressing topic. I have a divorce attorney come on for the next show, but she'll be coming on soon. And Tammy, thank you so much. All listeners in the show, thank you. If you like it, please share it with everyone you look up to and care for. And I look forward to our next episode. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.